All right, my friend, we are done.
Hooray.
It was a nice, painless show. I hope I wasn't too nice to Skull and Bones. I just really like the game.
That's what you want the podcast to be, painless.
It's what it's become.
Like sweet euthanasia, just painless.
Just lay down and close your eyes and just dream another dream of a different life. Oh, yeah.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zach Ryan with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have chosen for whatever reason to listen to another horrible gaming podcast.
Podcast.
The guy mocking my accidental accent is because I am not alone, and usually I'm never alone. With me is my my partner.
Nearly can't tiny wizard.
Can't tiny wizard. Tiny wizard in the house.
Tiny wizard.
Let's offend whatever people sound like this right off the bat. First 2 minutes.
Just like that.
Get them out the door. Yeah, so welcome.
Forget a Benny.
Welcome to the podcast. So we've covered this game for a really long time. So our talking point tonight is it has come to pass. One of the revelations happened. Skull and Bones released. It's in the wild. I've played it, and I did a review on it. But we're gonna just take the time and really talk about it and its presentation and what we think about that. And it should be a very interesting conversation. But before we get into that, we of course have to thank everybody who made this show possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you're seeing a custom graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. Of course, the theme song for this show and all shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Sliders. We thank him for that. So we'll be back with Fanteraction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, so that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that is Fanteraction. That's where we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans, we answer your questions, we read out your comments, we just chat with you. So I do have to go back because, so just real quick, some people shouted out that I missed some comments. Jackie posted a couple of comments on the last, on your last video here. Okay. Before you took the weekend off for Super Bowl party. Yeah. Just so you know, Jackie, we usually record the podcast on Sunday nights. That being said, because it was Jeremy and he was coming over Friday, I actually recorded it on the Friday before that. So your posts came in after we had already recorded the show. I want to say this right now because I don't know how many podcasts you've listened to. Jackie is a big fan of the channel, supports many of our shows. I remember commenting on some of these, but one thing you should know, if you don't know, is that if you post a comment and I miss it, I will read it the next week. So we're going back 2 weeks to start. And this was Neil in his hood, which he's in right now. He's just got it down.
Yes.
Jackie Rake says, Neil, I felt more like Jedi Master for you than rapper. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't remember any Jedi Masters wearing furry hoods.
It's more
do it. Do it.
Palpatine.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it. it's one of my favorite Game Grumps bits, too. Jackie Rates then also continued, or, Neil, I would say more like an Ewok hood. I'd get behind more than
fucking hate
Master.
Ewoks.
I hate them, too.
Hate Ewoks.
But they got furry hoods, man. They got furry hoods. I don't have to tell you. I hate Ewoks, too. My one of my favorite, and I don't always get along with my dad. Everybody on the channel knows that my parentage is a source of contention. However, One of my favorite, my dad rants, is he hated the third Star Wars movie. And I was like, why did you hate the third Star Wars movie? It wraps everything up. And he's like, it's those goddamn Ewoks, man. They just don't even make any fucking sense. He's like, you look at those, the Gungeons from that new one. Yeah, they're annoying and they're mildly possibly racist, but at least they got claws and fins and look like they could live in the wild. An Ewok couldn't get its fat fucking hand around its fat fucking stomach to scratch its fat fucking ass, let alone hunt for itself.
Ewoks and Jawas. Jawas too.
Jawas at least have the technical prowess, right? Like, that's how I always took it. Was like, Jawas, they were able to, like, think better. You know what I mean? Like, they had the droids, they had the weapons. Whereas Ewoks is just this primitive teddy bear culture. Like, what hasn't eaten them by now? And he always, his point was always, like, they were just in there to sell toys. That was, like, the first time something was in there just to sell toys. Which I don't necessarily disagree with. So, those out of the way. Let's jump into last week. Last week, we do want to give a special shout-out thank you to Grandpa Gamer / Jeremy. He, if you want to see more Grandpa Gamer, he runs the OMGM show with me, Old Man General Manager, where we book against each other in 2K23. Since Neil was taking a day for the Super Bowl party, we just decided to talk about all the WWE 2K24 news because that's not a topic that Neil really is into, so it just made more sense. And it was a good show. I do want to say thank you to him for jumping on and filling in.
Yeah, thank you for that. And thank you for being able to have the conversation with Zach about wrestling, something that I absolutely 10,000% am never able to do.
You flub it pretty well. You flub it pretty well. I'll give you that.
I think I know three whole wrestlers.
One of these days, I want to do a show, and I've already talked to Neil about this. We just live slightly too far apart for it at this particular juncture. But one day in our life, I want to do a show called Getting Over. And what I want to do is I want to basically go over to Neil and Kayla's house and record us watching wrestling for a month that I've selected and see if I can't get them hooked on wrestling.
You know, I think Kayla might know a little bit more than me because her dad and brother, I'm pretty sure, watch pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So that's I think she grew up with it. I was never even exposed to wrestling. So
that's fair. That's fair. It is the crazy thing to me is usually when like super nerd, especially anime nerds, are exposed to wrestling, I find that they realize there's so much more common ground. Yeah. Like it really is. Like Dragon Ball Z is just special effects wrestling. Is like wrestling is just anime with rules. That's it. That's all there is. Okay, so let's get into the comments from last week. William Owen starts us off. Hi! Exclamation point. Skull and Bones is justified to be paid to be a paid game and have microtransactions. After all, it's the first quad A game ever. Yeah. Well, I don't have much to say this time. Still, thanks for the show. Hashtag, if you don't like words, stop listening. I do want to say, Neil, before you answer that, this is going to be a talking point tonight. So I say we just roll this. We wait for the response to that.
Definitely going to say we actually had a conversation before we even started doing this on how exactly we want to tackle everything.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's going to start with Zach having a lot to say and me going, maybe throwing in a little bit of nuggets here and there. And then I'll jump in when we look at the not so great part of everything.
Well, and here's the thing. There's going to be a lot of not so great part to talk about. My problem is, and what we'll get into the crux of my issue, is that the not so great part isn't the gameplay. And that's the thing that's really bugging me on the whole experience here. I also want to talk about the comparison between Anthem and this because I feel like this is going to be my new Anthem. But at the same time, there's already a lot of differences between the two. Again, we'll talk about that in our talking point. I don't want to like talk about it here, then talk about it again. So we'll Thank you for the skull and bones. We will definitely bring up the quad A comment, which, spoiler alert, we're both going to agree is the dumbest fucking thing anybody's ever said. But we'll get to all of it in the talking point. So I guess keep listening to the show.
You're already here. Why leave now?
Right. Jason then chimes in, crossplay should be standard feature of multiplayer games. Valheim was made by 5 people. It has crossplay, parentheses, as long as it's not modded. There's really no excuse for not having crossplay anymore. I want to agree with that. I believe those words, but there's also a part of me that just doesn't understand coding well enough to think that, like, maybe it's harder than we think in certain positions, in certain areas. Maybe there's also a politics situation to it on a lot of times. But overall, I agree with that statement. I'm hesitant nowadays because I just feel like, while I feel like it should be absolutely there no matter what, there's something, like, I don't understand enough about the behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, while this is a pretty broad stroke and not applicable to all cases, basically, there is a world in which the game runs, you know, the world runs on a server and the right. game itself is the access to the server reacting right. to things happening. So then at that point, you're just talking about the net code used between the two. And
well, and a lot of games use that.
Yeah. And
like Ubisoft, you play everything through Ubisoft. So right. that's how they unify everything.
Yeah, and it's easy for us to just say, well, why don't you just do 2 versions of it? It's not that it's impossible. It's just, is it worth the work in the end? And right. that's, you know, that comes down to
anything. Well, and how much work is it
out there?
If it's as easy as pushing a button, okay, I'm with you 100%. Why is that not a thing? I don't know that it is. And also, and I'm not trying to call it, Jason's comment was really good, Jason. I do want to say that. But the whole argument of X game was made by X amount of people versus X game was made by X amount of people is starting to fall flat to me. I've seen too many games made by one person that are absolutely the greatest thing I've ever played, and then games made by hundreds of thousands of people, and they're absolute shit, you know? I think that, like, I think it depends on the game. It depends on the situation behind it, what they're trying to do to start. And I think that, like, I don't necessarily think that the amount of people factors in to how hard or easy something is, you know? And yeah. I mean, I appreciate that Valheim is a game made by 5 people that does have crossplay. I 100% appreciate that. I'm starting to kind of, like, backtrack a little bit on not kind of understanding exactly what goes into that process, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Continuing though, Jason said, also, I doubt I had anything to say about the PlayStation stuff. Fair enough. Not a lot of people had anything to say about the PlayStation stuff.
Because there wasn't much to talk about.
Oh, I think I read these out of order by accident somehow. Also, I looked at last week's comments. I see 3, Williams 1, and Jackie's 2. Again, did not see Jackie's until after we had recorded. So sorry about that, Jackie. Your comments came in after we recorded, but I have read them now. And then Jason, again, it's very possible I didn't say anything last week. I was playing Valheim, building a house at my launch point, and then sailing through the ocean, looking for an island with a swamp, and hoping intensely that the sea serpent didn't appear and eat my boat. and then finally, Jackie does say, heartbroken. I commented on last show. I told Neil his hoodie looked more like an Ewok or maybe even a Jedi Master. Well, I've read those now, Jackie. Again, they came in after we had recorded. I'm sorry about that. That just happens sometimes because of, you know, the way we record and how sometimes we've got to record at different times. So I apologize, but we've read them, so we're all square. As far as the Valheim stuff, Jason, what are your thoughts on Nightingale? Put in the comments below in the next episode, because I'm severely considering getting it. It's only $30. And it looks very interesting, but I'm kind of leery about it at the same time. There are a lot of things that attract me and push me away, so I'm kind of interested to hear what you think about it. Anything else you want to add to it, Neil?
No, sir.
All right. With that said, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into it, the highs and lows of Skull and Bones finally being a thing.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Brings us to our talking point, ladies and gentlemen, and we have been building to this possibly since the beginning of this podcast, possibly before Neil was a co-host here. We've been talking about Skull and Bones. I don't know. I know probably a lot of you are sick of hearing about it. You certainly don't want an entire show devoted to it, but it just didn't feel right to not have one final, like, conversation about this game that finally released. I mean, in a weird way, good or bad, there is this weird mythos around this game, kind of like Dead Island 2. Kind of even like Starfield, where it was like, is it ever going to come out? What is it going to be when it comes out? It's been in development for like 10 years, and it's in the world. This game actually has released, and it is something. So we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. I have asked Neil, because here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I love this game. I have 20-plus hours in it already. I'm obsessed with it. I think about it when I'm not playing it. I think about what I'm going to do in it next. I really enjoy it. There are some mechanisms in this game that are amazing. Not only are there mechanisms in this game that are amazing, but there are things that they do here that games as services needed. Like, truly needed as an evolution of what these kind of games are. I don't think it's necessarily right to compare it to looter shooters, but if we're going to compare it to, like, Destiny or Anthem, I think it's the best one I've ever played, honestly. This game, first of all, right off the bat, it's naval combat, 100%. So if you're thinking, man, I can't wait to swashbuckle, there's no swashbuckling. Put that out of your head. You are the boat. That's what you are in this game. There are land scenes where your captain walks around and talks to people, but there's no combat there. It is all boat combat, ship-to-ship combat. That's not necessarily a bad thing. The ship-to-ship combat here is second to none. It is arcadey, but still strategic. It plays really well. It feels great. You get this rewarding success when you blow up an enemy ship or plunder a settlement. It's really good on that level. It also looks really good. Surprisingly, like, really pretty. And in the 20 plus hours of gameplay that I've had between this and the open beta, I've never had a crash, I've never been booted, and I've only ever hit two bugs. And both of them were relatively easy fixes. I just quit out of the game, quit back in. That's pretty amazing for a AAA game nowadays, to not have bugs in it to release. That's something also I want to point out is, I am going to compare this to Anthem and to Anthem quite a bit, because it does have a lot in common with it so far. But Anthem was a train wreck when it came out. The servers were shot. You could barely log in. There was huge loading and queue times. And then once you were in, there were rushed systems and issues. The one thing about Anthem is, it, as much as I loved it, it needed a 2.0 refresh. It needed that, like, rework of the game to make it work, and it sadly never got that. Skull and Bones doesn't need that. It is a competent game in what it is, and it does it really, really well. Again, I'm going on a rant right now because we're definitely going to dunk on it later, because there's a lot of shit about the real problem with this game, and I think even Neil will agree with me when we get to it, is the presentation of how Ubisoft has decided to present it to us and sell it to us. But before we get there, I want to keep talking about this game, because one of the things that it does that I absolutely love is it takes any of that loot percentage bullshit out of it, period. If you want a thing, if you want cannons, if you want a ship, if you want whatever, first of all, you have to level up to a point where they become available. Okay, like, you can't just craft the best weapons in the game. You have to level up your character to a point to where you can then get it. once you get it unlocked in that way, you can go. You have to go out into the world, find the blueprint for it. Once you find the blueprint for it, you then have to grab the stuff that you need to craft it, and there is no loot to it. If you see that, like, you can click on it, you can track it, it tells you where all that loot is on the map, you have to go get it. That's it. There's none of that engram shit from Destiny where you've got a 12% chance of a legendary drop, and then the gun itself is random when you get. There's no loot boxing. There's none of that in this. There's no Borderlands loot showers where most of it's just junk that fills up your inventory. There is none of that. In this, it is straight up like everything you acquire is a quest to get it. That is awesome. It makes the game much more narrative, even though it's not narrative, if that makes sense. And I really enjoy that. Of course, again, it's all naval combat, but they also approach that in a lot of different ways. There's no real campaign to speak of. You have two kind of elements. You get to either work for the big pirate captain that's running the first pirate den, or there's the helm that you can run. You don't unlock that to level 6, but the helm is all about smuggling rum and opium around the East Indies, creating it, smuggling it, and whatnot. The captain stuff, I will say, is pretty dry. I will say one of the biggest weaknesses of this game is the dialogue. It almost doesn't even need to be there, and some of it's really cliche and trite. Like, I get sick of listening to the captain talk because I can almost predict every one of the pirate cliches that is going to come out of his mouth. Plus, I don't understand what it is about games of service that make them need to say the thing that you need to earn all the time, but everybody will say the word infamy 42 times because infamy is how you level up in this game. I have no idea why they decided to write it this way, but it's that kind of stuff. Like, just shitty writing on that level. The helm, the writing for the dialogue necessarily isn't better, but the actual way the helm plays is really fun and engaging. I found there's a lot of different ways to go about it. You can do these missions where you can just go buy the ingredients you need, or you can try and attack other rogues for the ingredient. When you go to make a delivery, other pirates will hunt you to try and stop you from making the delivery, and you have to kind of get through that run to make it, and then that has another coin. Brings me to another plus that I want to talk about before we get into the negative. There's actually not as many microtransactions in this game as I thought there were. Initially when I played, there was silver coins and gold coins. The silver coins are just called silver. They're your main currency. They buy basically everything other than what the gold coins buy. The gold coins, though, are earned in-game. They're not a purchased microtransaction thing. They're helm coins. You get them from running helm missions and helm deliveries. There is microtransactions. There's these gold doubloons that you can buy for money. But one thing that I really appreciate is in almost every Ubisoft game nowadays, you can spend a certain amount of money to just level up your character or gain a bunch of silver or gain some in-game currency to kind of pay to win. Sort of thing. There's nothing like that in this. There are these microtransactions. They're all cosmetic for gold, and they're in a rotating store. Other than that, everything is purchasable with either helm or silver coins. So that is a plus. I do want to say that. There's no battle pass. There's no loot boxes. Nothing like that. That's something I definitely want to say. I think this game is incredibly fun. It's incredibly engaging. The build systems for the boats are really cool. With that said, is there anything you want to ask me about the gameplay?
So, I am generally curious about one thing.
Sure.
Are there any spots in the game where it looks or feels like at some point they were considering the ability for you to get off the boat and like go run around and like do like general pirate things like exploring islands?
No.
Like, yeah, you get off at certain spots, of course.
You do. You can get off at outposts. But there's nothing in this game presents like it was supposed to be something else. And I don't know that it wasn't supposed to be something else, but nothing in this game presents like it wasn't supposed to be a naval combat games of service game.
Yeah, because that's one thing I thought of is, you know, for a game that's been in development for basically 11 years, you really wonder overall, like, what exactly was left on the cutting room floor for a game that, while it's an oversimplification to be sure, but for a game where you effectively just kind of sail around on the ocean as a boat when you're playing, or, you know, walk around a couple hub areas as a person. So it made me wonder if there was anything, like, it looked like you could have gone to an island, because I know there's been spots in other games with different things in general where you can see where that scope started to get away from the development of the game itself.
I mean,
to where you have feature creep.
I see what you're saying. I don't notice that here. I feel like this is way more, I'm surprised by this game because it's way more balanced and efficiently tight than I expected it to be. Like, usually when these things come out, especially when they're in development hell for this long, it's kind of like the first three things are like, here's how we're going to fix it. You know what I mean? It's not broken. It works good. I don't see any parts where it was like, oh, they're missing a thing here, you know? I don't feel like it was ever going to be a swashbuckling game. Even if it was, they've done a good job of covering it up. As far as the traveling around boat thing, I don't necessarily think that that precludes it from being a big AAA game. I mean, because that's a genre, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's naval combat. That's what they wanted to do. That's what they did. Like, I know that people wanted a full pirate simulator, but that's not what it is. There is definitely a lot of production value in this game. Like, when you play it, it's very pretty, in my opinion, which I wasn't expecting. It runs really well. It is just, the water looks good. You know what I mean? Like, it just looks good. That being said, to say it's a quad A game and to sell it for $79 or $69, $70, I still think is too much. I think it's way beyond the pale of what they should do and what they're presenting this as. I think that one of the big problems is they have really presented this as this truly groundbreaking premier experience. And this is a great game. I love this game. I'm going to be playing this game for a very long time. That being said, I don't necessarily think there's anything groundbreaking about it, other than what I've said, the kind of evolution of some of the games of service models that we need to see. But it's not like it's one of those that, like, holy shit, you could do anything and you can go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, it's still very much like, here's a port. Here's where the quests are. Here's where the stuff that you sell stuff is. You know, like, go out and do the quests and come back, you know, for more quests. I do want to say what I was really impressed with, too, is they took some really awesome notes from Sid Meier's Pirates, surprisingly enough. And this was 100% not in the betas that I played, but they crafted an economy system on it. So if you buy commodities are just sellable objects, right? If you buy commodities from one place that sells them, that place will have a lower value of it because they have a lot. And if you then take them to another place that doesn't have them, the value will actually go up. So they actually have, like, that trading kind of system in there, which, again, I wouldn't expect from a games of service. I've never seen in the games of service in that fashion, you know?
Yeah, I do wonder too, before we really just start hammering the negative ends of things.
Yeah.
Do you think that this game would have been better served as a free-to-play microtransaction-filled game as opposed to the premium quadruple A $79.99, whatever, $69.99, however the hell much they're charging for it, with light microtransactions for a game that was in development for 11 years that basically turned into an internet joke?
I glad you asked that, because it's a really tricky question to ask answer for me. Because, okay, so before it came out, even after the open beta, when I was pointing it out in the review, I had kind of pointed out that it should be free to play with the microtransactions. Now playing it, right? It's weird, because you can tell that they put tons of work and money into this game. And you know that because of the sheer development timetable, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it brings you into this weird space where they're trying to recoup their costs, right? Personally, if they had made this free-to-play and they had stuffed microtransactions in it, I think I would be having less fun than I am having, to be honest. And the reason is then I would be beholden to a battle pass. I'd be beholden to, like, oh, I can't get that yet today because I haven't acquired so much energy. You know what I mean? Like, the normal free-to-play stuff, I'm kind of glad they didn't do that. Like I said, after playing it for 20 hours, there's way less microtransactions in it than I thought there was. Which is tricky, because less microtransactions justifies a higher price. We've always said that, right? The problem is, while I think that this game has enough work put in it to be considered a AAA, not a quad A or any insanity like that, a AAA game, it also kind of comes to the how much are people willing to spend on it, how hot is it sort of situation. And I think that's the real tricky issue, is because I think they're trying to make their money back without forcing a shit ton of microtransactions down our throat. But at the same time, they're trying to, you know, make us want to buy it. You know what I mean? They have to rectify it with what we want it to be. And that's the tricky in-between space that I don't know that they really captured. Personally, I think if this game was a $30 or $40 price tag, I think it would be a much better, more appropriate thing. I think it's actually worth more than $30 or $40. From an objective standpoint, I know Jason's going to be mad at me. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, Jason included, that think that no game should cost $70. And I'm of the mind to agree with you. But just looking at it objectively from the market standard right now, being 70 is the AAA market standard, I would say that this is worth more than $40. It's just I don't think people are willing to pay more than $40 for it, other than my dumbass. So I think that, like, that's one of the tricky things about it. There is another level to this, and that is, A, they are really trying to sell their stupid subscription service with this, the Ubisoft Plus, because if you buy Ubisoft Plus, you get this right out the gate. You get all the pre-order bonuses with it. If you subscribe to Ubisoft Plus. And I think the other thing is that they're really trying to, like, I lost that train of thought, but I think they're trying to sell that Ubisoft Plus subscription with this as well. And we also don't know how popular it is. There's no numbers on it right now. We haven't heard any news one way or the other as to whether it's a failure or a success, or considered a failure or success, which is weird. I actually want to point that out. We have had a staggeringly small amount of news about Skull and Bones either way. You know, like, the reviews didn't come out until late on Friday, when the embargo was up on Tuesday during the open beta, or during early access. And we haven't had any, like, it's terrible, it's good, it's a failure, it's great. We haven't had any videos like that from IGN or any of the other news sources. So we don't really know how good it's doing, you know?
So I, for once, am going to don the hat.
The tinfoil? The hat of tinfoil?
Yes. I, for once, am going to don
the hat. I know what you're going to do, and I'm going to sneak into that hat with you.
So I think that everybody has intentionally avoided saying that it's bad, because I think Ubisoft has a lot of eggs in this basket because they've put so much into it. Because I noticed something. When you told me that the review went up from IGN, I always go for the video review. because I'm just like listening to people read me shit, because that's all it is. It's just the someone else reading out what they wrote. There is no IGN video review of it.
Nope.
There are a lot of people with like impressions and stuff like that. I think everybody just kind of came together collectively and was like, look, it's actually coming out. We're kind of astounded on that. But, you know, I think we kind of know what's going to happen here, and we're not going to really say anything about it. Much like the Madam Web that just came out. Everybody knew that it was going to be a big pile of shit.
I mean, IGN said a lot about that, though. There's been like four or five videos about that in stories about that.
Well, yes, but that's the thing. That's
I think Ubisoft
thing.
Paid them. I think they greased the wheel. Yes, I think they straight think up
they,
paid them.
I think they greased the wheel. And it's a little bit different of a scenario right now, because there's been so much coverage on this game. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody was waiting for the video to drop of it's really shitty.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different with something like the MCU movies and how they're starting to turn. Like, that's quote unquote, quote, cool to shit on at this point,
right?
Given the track record. I think something with this, they more so didn't also want to necessarily cause a panic overall, because another interesting, unfortunate timing, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League
was a train wreck.
Was an absolute train wreck. Right. And I saw an article earlier. I didn't write it down officially for my newsy bits, but player count's already down something crazy like 85% from launch, which was it launched at half of what Avengers numbers were. So there's a lot going on with the conversation about a live service game right now. It's just gotten exponentially worse. And having two games back to back be like that, I almost wonder if the game industry, like the games journalism industry, like with IGN and everything, have it's been a confluence of they've been paid off potentially by Ubisoft to not cover it as much. And the fact that they may be looking at the fact that it's just been very negative game after very negative, even though IGN still gave Suicide Squad, what was it, a 7, 6 or 7, something like that.
I think it was, I think it was a 5 or 6, actually. I think it was pretty low.
It was not great. I remember
but,
that. It was
Skull and
not
Bones
great.
Got a 7, which was
so
good.
So Skull and Bones got a 7, which, sidebar, just because we're bringing up the score officially, Zach, you were one off.
Yeah, I thought they'd give them a better one.
I thought it was going to be a 4.
I mean, you look at the previews from IGN, too. They were overwhelmingly positive going in, surprisingly. Then we had they had a lot of like lead-up footage. And I do want to say, you can definitely tell that Ubisoft is desperate for people to play this game and get into it. We got a trailer every day for 3 weeks leading up to the release of this game. Go back and look. And they are crazy trailers. They paid Michelle Rodriguez to come in and play the game for like 5 minutes. Like, are you kidding? Like, that's insane. They also built that ridiculous fucking controller. I don't know if you saw that. I sent that to everybody and their brother, because I think it's hysterical. They built a controller out of it. They had an individual trailer for haptic feedback, an individual trailer for the features on Xbox, an individual trailer for the roadmap. Like, it was it's crazy how much. And post-launch, and this is something, another thing that I want to talk about, because I really think they completely botched the release of this and how they did everything leading up to it. Because, first of all, $70 I think is too high. We've already talked about that. It did have less microtransactions than I thought, but I still think it's a little bit too high for what it is. That being said, it was a $90 premium edition thing, which gave you 3 days of early access. But here's the timeline, right? Open beta from the Thursday to the Sunday prior to that release, right? Then Monday, the servers go dark. Tuesday, early access starts. Why? Why not sync that up? But fine. Tuesday, early access. They do early access for the 3 days leading up, shutting down the beta, then the game releases, and they announced a free trial already. What are we doing? Like,
yeah.
What's going on with that? Plus, there is a friend referral bonus. Like, if I get you to play it, I get in-game rewards. That kind of stuff makes me a little bit nervous.
If you get me to play it, you deserve a check from Ubisoft.
Oh, I think you should play it. It's a free trial, man. We should play it together. We should do it for a stream. You, me, and Kayla just play the free trial of Ubisoft.
Call it Boats and Hoes.
Yeah. If you guys sink two ships, I get shit. In any case, that whole thing aside, they have kind of botched the lead up to this and the release of this. Plus, they just keep trying to cram it down our throats that this is some sort of quad A game. This is not a quad A game. This is a triple A game. It's a triple A game with very little to no bugs, which I appreciate in the year of our Lord, fucking 2024, right? Yeah, 2024. Like, that's amazing. Most of our triple A games, tons of bugs, right? But, like, this one doesn't have it. That being said, that is not enough alone to make this quad A. Quad A is, like, super immersive. Want to live
quad
in that
A
world.
Quad A is Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah. I completely agree with that statement. And Baldur's Gate had a lot of bugs too, but yeah. It's quad A. This one is not quad A. This is a reasonable triple A. I'm not putting it down as triple A. I've drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm all in on this game. I love this game. I love seeking things out. And I'm telling you, Neil, the build mechanics on the ships versus the ridiculous, fantastical weaponry they give you. So much fun. I built this little ship. It's a little barge that just does fire damage. And I have these shotgun cannons on either side, but they shoot fire. And I just, like, nuke things. It's amazing. But on the front, I have torpedoes. Love this little ship. It just flies around, just setting fire on everything. That kind of stuff. It's just, there's so much fun build mechanics and stuff like that in it. It's just, it's a good AAA. It's not a quad A. And that's our real problem here. It's just the lead up to this. They tried so hard to get us to play it. And I don't know that anybody's playing it other than me. I mean, I've definitely met some people online. It's been a lot of fun, but I don't know that the player counts are what they want or the sale counts are what they want.
I was going to say, it's not what they want. It's what they need.
Right.
Overall. And what I want to know is they had guaranteed 1 year of support for this game.
Yes.
I want to know if we are a year from today's date, if they've already announced the shutdown.
Well, and that's possible. I hope it's not, because I, like I said, really enjoy this game. Their roadmap is ambitious. It is very ambitious. I will say my biggest thing about that roadmap was the first time I looked at it, I was like, you're going to be fixing bugs for the first month. What are you doing? But they're not going to be fixing bugs. I think that roadmap looks a lot more possible now post-release. But the other thing is, too, is this roadmap is all seasonal content. That's the thing that kind of makes me nervous and bothersome. And that's the thing that takes me back into that games of service thing. I don't want seasonal content. I don't like seasonal content. I like it when you add stuff to the game permanently, and then that's it. So like the first round of things is this pirate, this epic pirate hunt. He's a super big bad pirate guy, and he basically he's like a poison pirate. So like the seas will have weird clouds of poison just floating around or whatever. That sounds cool. I'm not against that. But, like, that's not the kind of DLC I want. I want DLC that adds new ships to the game. Honestly, the thing that I most want is the ability to hire crews to take my ships out as NPC ships when I'm not piloting them. So I don't have this weird fleet of ships that I can't use. That would be one of my big things. I'd rather see that kind of DLC than what they've showed us, which is just, like, four captains, four seasonal thingamajiggers, you know? So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. Again, though, they've kind of crammed this down our throat, and I love the game, but just the way they've presented it, the way they've sold it, the way they've brought it to market, I just think they've made so many mistakes along the way. I don't know that they're going to get what they need out of it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things to where only time will tell overall.
Well, and the other thing is, too, like, is it possible to make back what you spent on this? You've been working on this for 11 years, and you can see how much money you've spent on it in the production value. So, like, is the goal, like, hey, we're not even going to make the money off of it now. We're hoping we make it in the long run, you know? Or maybe this was supposed to be a jumping on for Ubisoft Plus, and that's where the money is going to come from. I don't know that, like, financially, like, you know, debit credit situation, that they can make back what they've spent on this. You know, I think much more they need to try and look at this like a long-term investment, and I don't know that they've really done that properly.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be something... I think it's going to be something that we're never going to really necessarily hear anything about the sales of the game overall. I think it's going to be something where we find out the player counts basically off of, like, Steam active users or something.
Well, what's weird is you can't get this on Steam. You can only play this on Ubisoft. I had to set up an Ubisoft account to purchase it. Like, there's no way to play this game on Steam or Epic. Oh, no, wait. It's on Epic, I'm pretty sure. But I don't like the Epic platform, so I just bought it on Ubisoft. Because, weirdly enough, the Ubisoft, like, platform on computer is actually pretty cool. I like it. It's actually a pretty nifty platform. It's just, it's only Ubisoft, you know? Mm-hmm. The other thing I do want to say, too, that I don't agree with the review on is IGN said it was too bare bones. And I'm actually staggered by the amount of content that's in this already, to be honest. I'm already counting at least 7 different factions that you can tangle with, talk to, buy stuff off of, trade with. So just that in itself is a lot of stuff. But you add in all the Helm stuff you can do, all the different missions you can do. I don't really feel that it's that bare bones. I think it's pretty sparse. It has a lot of content to it. I haven't even unlocked all the map yet, and I'm only at like 20 or so hours. So there's a lot to the game. I really, at the end of the day, to wrap it up, because I think we're beating a dead horse at this point. I personally believe this game is excellent. If you take away the development hell, if you take away your expectations of what you necessarily want a pirate game to be right out the door, and you just play this game for what it is, which is a kind of arcadey pirate naval combat game with games of service elements in an open world, this game is exquisite. It's absolutely exquisite. It's truly enjoyable. That being said, the stuff around it, it's just piled up so high. The price, all the trailers, the desperation, the Ubisoft Plus membership, the early access premium cost, the free trial, the referral thing, how they did the betas and stuff. It's just, it's not great. And I think that it's holding back a good game. I think everybody should go out and try the free trial. I think they'll at least agree with me that it's a good naval combat system. Might not have everything you want, but at the very least, I will be surprised if you don't have fun doing ship-to-ship combat in that game.
Well, time will tell.
Do you have anything to add, sir, or are you all done?
No, I'm good.
All right, we'll be right back with news.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our last segment, the news. We collect headlines and smaller stories that don't necessarily deserve a talking point that we want to riff about, make each other aware about. I actually am kicking Neil's butt this week. I got 6, he's only got 2, so I'm going to start us off. I'm going to start us off with the sad. Yoshitaka Murayama has died. You're probably listening to this going, who is this? So this is the guy who made one of the only JRPGs I've ever played and enjoyed, and that is Tsukiden. He not only made that, but he was writing the Euclidean Chronicles, which is the spiritual successor to that. It's coming out on Game Pass, and I think like next month. And he unfortunately died. He's been battling an illness for a really long time. And yeah, rest in peace, Yoshitaka. You were one of the only people to make me like a JRPG. So, bravo to you. Yeah. What do you have to say? Do you have anything to say? It's a weird, awkward silence.
No. Let's write it off as a moment of silence. I never played the game, so I'm unfamiliar. But I mean, we are definitely getting to that point in time where, you know, games that were made, you know, earlier on in our days, are gonna start passing.
Oh, it's weird. Like, you're starting to see people who are dying who are like the same age as you. And you're like, ah, no. Yeah, so, and Tsukiden, I highly recommend it. There's supposed to be a remaster at some point this year of the first two games. Basically, it's a JRPG, but you could have six people in your team, turn-based. But what was really cool about it was, like, it was a really big map, and every city had at least, like, two characters that you could recruit. You just had to do something in the game or whatever. And every game had, like, 100 to 200 characters that were puttable in your party. Like, that was the big advertisement of the game, was you just had all these characters. And then all the games featured a fortress that you would slowly build up. And when you recruited them, they would come to your fortress and live there. And I always thought that was so cool, because you would see these rooms that were, like, busted up. And then you'd recruit the right person. And then you'd go back to your fortress, and there was this room, and the person was there, and you could talk to them. I loved that game for that. And just the sheer volume of characters that you could have in your party is crazy. So I'm actually excited for Euclidean Chronicle. I guess I'll go with another one then, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay.
I only got the two, so.
I am going to go with this one, because this is a real... This might be one of the ones that spawns a little rant from me. So Sony has come out and said that PlayStation 5... Did I steal one? Sorry, man. Yeah. I didn't mean to. PlayStation 5 is officially in its later stage of development. It's on its way out. And they are not going to do any price cuts. And I want to talk about this for a second. I want to hard stop and talk about this for a second. Because everybody out there needs to really start considering what the next console generation and what it is going to be, and whether we need it or not. Because we also got an announcement from Phil Spencer that they are working on the next Xbox system, and that it is going to be the biggest technological leap in consoles, in household consoles to date. With that being said, I don't think we should get new systems. This soon. If you can't price... One of the things I want to point out about systems in the past is that usually a system will come out, 3 years later it would drop in price, right? And then there'd be like a mid-season whatever, a mid lifespan refresh. So you could buy the newer one or you could buy the older one. And then that would drop in price a little bit until the next one came out. They're not dropping the price on this, which means that the technology that is going into these things isn't going down. It's because the reason that those prices would drop before is because we would reach a point where that technology was outdated, so that we could drop the price because there was a new technology coming along that was taking its place. That's how technology works. That's how industries work, period. But we're reaching critical mass in this, to the point where the price of the things that go into these systems right now is not dropping. So you really need to consider out there, everybody, your PlayStation 5 has no price drop. And it's what, $5.99 system, $4.99 system, $5.99 system, right?
$4.99.
So that means if this is later stage and there's no price drop, how much is the PS6 going to be? I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be nearing $1,000 on that. And at that point, what are you doing? Get a PC. Like,
on top of that, with the Sony console, not only have we not gotten a price cut, with their hardware revision that they had, it technically wound up being a price increase. Mm-hmm. When you buy the external disk drive attachment that they have separately.
Right.
No new updated specs, a little bit better hard drive or SSD inside of it. Okay, fine, right. Cool. Who cares? It's already expandable anyways. That makes literally no difference one way or another.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't know you were finished.
On top of that, there's actually another part to that situation, because it's the other half of what I have with this.
Sure.
So having launched at the tail end of 2020, the console is now just over 3 years old, somewhere abouts. Mm-hmm. We're approaching basically the fourth year. And on top of that, Sony execs basically also confirmed that there's nothing first party coming out this year.
Yep.
For PlayStation 5.
Yep.
So not only is it in its latter stages of development, there ain't shit all coming out for it. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, it's still a premium product that you're going to pay for.
Right.
This is the shit right here that really makes me think that we're going to be actually now going towards another crash.
Well, you're cutting me off before I got to it. I don't think it's tinfoil hat anymore. I think look at how we're doing things, and actually I'm going to roll right into another one of mine, Embracer Group. So they have now announced that they are probably going to do more layoffs coming up to get solvable. Now, I want to point out this company's timeline. In the last 4 years, just 4 years, guys, they bought 7 major studios. Then they, because of some deal that didn't go through with Saudi Arabia, they immediately had to start closing those studios, laying people off, and shutting things down. This is the example of the crash. I think if you look at what's going on in the industry right now, all the layoffs, all of the crashes, and I know that there is plenty of layoffs that are done just to get balance books to give us even more money sort of situation. But again, it's one of those situations where there's no reason that a game needs to be $70. It really doesn't. When you consider the fact that video games as an industry already makes more than movies, music, and TV combined, why is a game cost $70? The reason is because these companies don't know how to not spend. They overspend and they overspend and they overspend until they don't know how to fix it other than taking it out of our wallets. And this is leading to the crash. This is why we're getting these layoffs. Meanwhile, you look at the games that are truly successful this year. Truly successful games so far in 2024. Helldivers, right? Which is much more independent studio. Not really first party. They're struggling. Pal World, right? Like, those are the kind of games we've looked at so far that are impressive. Meanwhile, we have AAA games left and right getting just huge delays, you know, and companies getting huge layoffs. So I think that, yeah, we're headed to a crash. It's a big crash. I don't think it's going to be as bad as the crash of the 80s because we have these indie companies that are going to keep the industry alive. But I think that, yeah, we're definitely headed for a crash.
I mean, you also consider something like, you know, like with Xbox, their announcement of the future of the Xbox brand that they did with like their announcement within the past week or so here.
Yeah. Yeah. Trevor, we're going to talk about that one.
Yeah, the fact that they're bringing first party games, albeit games that have been out for a while, at this point, it's no sweat off their back putting these games on other consoles. But the fact that, you know, now we're seeing movement of that whole, yeah, who needs an Xbox? Xbox is a platform. We're going to put that stuff out on other providers, other consoles, everything like that. You know, the reasons, it's like all of the companies are giving us reasons to not buy their shit. Sony's not doing any price cuts. They're cutting the lifespan of a console basically in half. Microsoft, effectively, you couldn't tell, you know, but they just don't want to be in the console business. It's almost like they're backed into a corner at this point. And they feel like, well, I guess we can make another console, I suppose, because Nintendo's the only one that's playing with. Nintendo's the only one sitting there playing with their toys in a corner still, just being okay. But for them, it's a totally different story. It's they're stuck, you know, 10 years in the past with friend codes and voice chat via your smartphone and, you know, like other crazy shit. Like, that's why cloud has been, you know, cloud gaming has become such a thing. And now it's the focus is back on portables again. But, you know, who fucking knows at this point at the rate everything is going?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like, we're in a real, like I said, like, I think 2023 was really good, but I think it's only down from here. And I think that, like, we're really witnessing the crash. And the crash comes from these companies that just only know how to spend money and not make it, you know? And that's really frustrating. So, do you want to do your one, and then I'll do my last three?
Yeah, I may as well just do my last one. And my last one is actually pretty fun. Apparently, the Sonic 3, the movie, is in fact going to be an adaptation of Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah, that's a
Yeah, Crush 40, I guess, has confirmed that Live and Learn is going to be in the movie, and I'm all about it. I'm so about it. I'm so ready.
Maria's gonna be in there. Oh, it's gonna be some nerdy goodness. Yeah, I hate that I'm a cuck for that stuff. Same thing. Did you see the Knuckles trailer?
Oh yeah!
I can't wait to see Knuckles.
Came out of nowhere.
I know, and I'm the first person to be like, God, they need to stop making video game movies. It's going to destroy the video game industry. But then, like, then I'm the first person who's like, a Knuckles series where he just does hijinks with Adam Pally. Yes, yes, please. Yeah, I'm totally in for that. Okay, well, with that out of the way. Helldivers is a success. We already kind of mentioned it. There will never be a PvP. The developers have said we don't want to bring that toxicity into the game. So it is PvE. That's how we like it. That's how it's going to be. And I got to give Helldivers props because I'm not going to lie. I kind of thought looter shooters were dead. Like, absolutely dead. Out the gate. There was nothing left they had to offer. I mean, you just watched one after the other come out and be a copy of Destiny or something like that, you know, Suicide Squad and a lot of them. And Helldivers have proved me wrong. You've got a shooter that's a looter shooter and people really like it. So more props to them, man. More props to them for doing games of service right.
Yeah, I don't have much experience with that game. Played it. I've heard a lot about it. I didn't even know there was a first Helldivers. But
I didn't know, like, I didn't hear shit about this game leading up to its release. Like, I heard it here and there, like, it'll be, but then it came out and it was like, it's already dwarfed Starfield and and whatever the other one is in concurrence. And I'm like, Jesus, man, Helldivers came out of nowhere, in my opinion, even more so than Pal World. Like, Helldivers was just like, boom, we're here, motherfuckers. And I give it props. Like, I suddenly do want to play it. Another interesting story about that, too, was the whole Phil Spencer thing. I don't know if you saw that. In, like, an interview, he basically said, like, I don't know who it helps that it's exclusive to PlayStation and PC. And I hate agreeing with Phil Spencer, but, man, I wish exclusivity would go away. There's a huge conversation going on about, like, Xbox selling their games to other platforms right now. And, I don't care. We talked to Jeremy this last week. He pointed out right off the bat he would buy an Xbox for the controller, for the design of it, for the OS. Like, do we really need to prohibit other people from playing games on the system for that system to be worth it? I don't think so. I think it's stupid. I think anytime I can't play a game because it doesn't have, like, crossplay, or it's not available on another system, it's annoying to me. And I think that the people who would want to buy the system would still buy the system because of what the system is, you know?
Yeah. To his point, the Xbox controller is the far superior controller.
Far superior.
Like, hands down, 100%. And I hate that, like, you get weird situations. Like, perfect example, part of the reason why I couldn't get into Street Fighter V when Street Fighter V came out was because I had to play it on the PlayStation controller. I really got into Street Fighter with 4 on Xbox.
Right.
5 never came to Xbox. You had to do it on PC. The only way you could play with an Xbox controller was on PC. And by the time I had a PC, it was too late.
Yeah.
Of course, now I have 6 on Xbox and I've touched it for maybe 20 minutes, but that's aside the point.
I think that I think that, like, the companies and this whole exclusivity thing is stupid to me. I don't care that Hi-Fi Rush is going to be on Nintendo. I don't care that any of the exclusives for Xbox are going to be on PlayStation. And from what I understand, most console players don't either. Like, because they'd still play it because of the controller or because of the OS, you know? Just make your system, make your medium, and stop gatekeeping games. I hate gatekeeping. My next one's a fun one that I really enjoyed. I don't know if you saw that Pal World lost a bunch of its player base, declined.
Yeah, I'd seen that.
And they released a statement about it, which was, in my opinion, one of the most measured developer statements that has ever been released, ever. And I truly, like, they made it into my nominations for developer because of this statement for next year. And basically what they said, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but basically they were like, when it released, we didn't think we would get, we thought that having 300,000 players would be a success. We got something like 3 million. So for it to drop off 30%, we are still literally higher than what our success number was for Pal World. Then they were like, also, it's okay to play other games. It's okay to not play Pal World. We've just started Pal World. It's in early access. We are working very hard to release new stuff for it. And a lot of those players will probably return to play this. They've probably done everything they can for right now, and they've put it down to play something else while they wait for us to make new content. And there is literally nothing wrong with that. We wish them the best love, and we hope that they come back, and it's totally okay to play other games. I was like, who are you?
Sounds like that was written by a human being.
Yeah, right? I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I was that immediately, like, I went to my thing and I was like, next year, best developer, they're now in one of my nominations. Just for that, the handling of that, I think is great. And there is too much press put on, like, concurrent player amounts and player droppage. The point is not to have the most players. The point is to make money off your game and have your game be successful. You don't necessarily need to, like, have the record-breaking concurrency count. I love that they kept a level head about it, that they were like, look, man, our numbers were 800,000 people. 30% of 3 million ain't even 800,000. Right. We're still killing it. So we're going to keep on making games. I think that's really, really cool and really smart and really surprisingly mature of a developer nowadays.
Yes.
And then finally, I will end it with a quick one. No Man's Sky has done another update, and they actually made it free to play till February 19th. Obviously, by the time this comes out, that will be passed. But it was a new update in which you get to fight a pirate freighter. I think it's really interesting, given that we've already seen Light No Fire, coming, that they're still working on No Man's Sky, and I think it's indicative of them basically saying, look, we're going to keep working on this game until the end of the... until the world implodes, you know? We're not quitting this game anytime soon. And I do really appreciate that we got another update. They reworked the expeditions. They put some work into it. Even though Light No Fire is out. Although I'm going to say this, I am so thirsty for Light No Fire information. Just the thirstiest boy for that Light No Fire information. I want more info on that than the trailer we got. So yeah. But that's my last one.
Alrighty, this is weird.
What?
This is weird, me not being the one still going.
I know. Well, let's do plugs. Let's wrap it up. I've got some pirate ships to sink.
Sounds good.
All right.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, would you like to plug anything, sir?
I do suppose it would be a future plug.
If I know what you're going to plug.
Yeah, because, I mean, who knows when it's officially going to come out, but we are starting to... We did some character creation for a tabletop RPG within Zach's system. It's actually going to be... It's an official expansion that you've got coming out, correct? Yes.
So, to build upon your plug, sir, that plug is coming out. That we don't have an actual release date. It is probably going to be spring, maybe late spring, when it releases. The show that you are going to be recording for, we are going to release tantamount with it. Like, the first episode is going to probably come out in the week prior to us actually releasing the game, or the day of, somewhere around there. But yeah, it's going to be a full expansion for Single Mod, the tabletop role-playing game. And both Neil and Kayla and a newcomer to the channel, Corey, is going to be playing in it. I'm really excited about it.
Yes, it is going to be very interesting. I hope... I'm quite sure it's not going to devolve into another sunfish sitting there. That was fun.
Fingers crossed. I don't think it will. The game is a gothic horror game. Where you hunt...
We're
like,
doing something wrong if it turns into that.
We're hunting very scary stalkers all in, like, I think he made it 1950s
time
period. And we each play characters that basically the crux of the game is you inject 18th century author blood into your veins and it gives you superpowers to fight these monsters that you have to hunt.
And I just have to say, I am a sucker for cool ass shit like that. Like, not like, oh, you wake up and you'll magic one day, or like, you know, traditional like origins like that, to where it's just like yawn, snooze, you know. This is like the coolest shit. Like, I've always been a fan of taking real world history and morphing it into something else. So this has dashes of that. So I'm all about this campaign setting.
I do not know what to do with all these compliments. I thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm very proud of this setting, especially since it is quite honestly like nothing I've ever written. Obviously, I've only recently started publishing my stuff, but I've been doing homebrewed games since the beginning of time. I have never done gothic horror. I certainly haven't done anything in this area, so I'm very excited to kind of see how this plays off. Especially since I'm not game mastering, I get to play. Ooh, so excited about that.
Yeah.
As far as me, I'm not going to plug too much. We got a lot of stuff going on, guys. There's on the TTRPG side, we've got live streams. We've got some actual play podcasts coming later this year that are... I've started editing them, and they are really good, in my opinion. On the video game side, we've got the OMGM. We still have a lot of reviews coming your way. I'm still streaming when I can. We've got an astronomical amount of content coming out on this channel. So just find something you like and latch onto it. Other than that, you guys can reach us on Facebook at OmegaGamingDH, on Twitter at OmegaGaming9. You can join our Discord. The link's in the description below. Influence this and all of our shows from there. And as long as you guys keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. We'll see you guys next week. Pause. All right. Let's get into it. I'm wasting no time today. Focused.
Oh, you said I'm waste. It sounded like you said I've moistened some time today, and yes. I was...
Just moistening some time.
I was very, very confused.
Sometimes you gotta moisten some time, Neil. Sometimes. What would that even mean? Like, how'd you get away with that? I just moistened some time, man. Just moistened some time.
I don't know.
All right. My goal in life now is to come up with a definition for moistened time.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, if anything, it may be something relatively akin to what happened to me on Saturday.
What happened to you on Saturday?
Basically, this is a weed story. So, okay. I had the house to myself this past weekend.
Okay.
I was off on Saturday, and Kayla went to go see friends of hers in Pittsburgh. So, I originally started the day thinking I was going to be productive, clean the house and whatnot. But then I was like, you know what? We have a pen here that I hit a couple times on. So I was like, okay. And I was like really going to town on this pen. And then I realized it hit me all at once. So I was like, okay, I think I'm done. I see how the rest of this evening is going to go. I'm going to go take a shower. So I turn the shower on to get ready to get hot. And I'm like, you know what I probably need to do? I probably need to get some pizza heated up for myself. So the shower's still going. I put some pizza in the oven. I put three pieces of pizza in the toaster oven, turn it on, have it ready to go. And then I make my way back to the shower. It was like, cause I need, you know, my whole plan was to have it heating up while I was doing that. I was like, you know what? Nah, I want to just grab something real quick now for myself. So shower still going, went back into the kitchen. I grabbed a donut. We had some donuts, grabbed a donut with some milk. Great. Had that, shower still going. I'm like, you know what? We got some fucking salt and vinegar chips that have been fucking banger lately. So I have some salt and vinegar chips again, still going in the shower. So then I grab one of the pieces of pizza out.
So you're just plodding around your house naked, eating food while the shower's running?
No exaggeration. It was about 15 minutes of me just wandering restlessly through the house, just grabbing various food items, some of which were cold and not even heated up. And then after the shower, I ate the remaining two pieces of pizza and for some reason really needed a salad. So then I made a salad that comprised only of iceberg lettuce, parm cheese, a small handful of croutons, because that's all that was left in the bag, and some dressing.
That's hysterical.
I was just like, this is how it would be if I were single. This is how pathetic I would be. This is what happens when Kayla leaves me alone for the weekend.
I love the idea that you turned the shower off, got naked, and then were like, you know what? No, I got to eat. I can't face this shower without food.
The whole time, it was like 15 minutes of just the shower going before I even got in.
There's no way this isn't going in the episode unless you explicitly tell me not to. I do want to say, to add to that, no, nowhere near as funny, I've really found a use for the gummies. Really found a use.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We've dabbled a couple more times since our initial time. I've come to realize it really knocks the fuck out of a sinus headache. Like, if I've already... Because I, of course, am sick again. You can tell my voice.
Yeah.
But thank you for not even asking. I appreciate it.
I've given up at this point.
I don't even want to talk about it because I want everybody to just pretend I'm fine. But I've had a lot of sinus, a lot of drainage, so I'll take some ibuprofen and it doesn't do anything for the sinus headache. So I was like, a Friday, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I can't take more ibuprofen right now. I just took them. I'm gonna knock the sinus headache right out. I didn't have any pain for the rest of the day. Just killed sinus headaches. I've done it one other time when I had a sinus headache and I take ibuprofen and then an hour later it hasn't removed itself. I did another half, and sure enough, knocked the sinus headache right out. It almost got me in trouble with some people But because I got a case of the giggles around a person I should not have gotten a case of the giggles around.
Yeah,
for sure.
I've come to realize that I have to be very particular about when I do things.
Oh, tell me about it. Like I said, I did it to get around this sinus headache, and my sister-in-law took Stella to an ice cream parlor, which was fine. I wasn't feeling it at that point, but somehow, you know how that stuff very slowly climbs to the super high? Mm-hmm. I was the most high I was ever going to be when she brought her back and then down to have a conversation with Melissa about it. And in my head, well, not in my head, at one point, Stella takes her into her room to show her stuffed animals, and I turn to Melissa and I go, "She's a narc. You got to get her out of here." And Melissa laughed, and then I started laughing, and I was having a really hard time not laughing. So I was sitting in a chair with my back to her while they were talking, just trying not to giggle. And then they started talking about the place that she had taken her for ice cream was called Pav's Creamery. And I heard Pap Schmeery the first time around. So I was just like, "What is it called?" And they're like, "Pav's Creamery." And I was like, "Pap's Creamery?" And they're like, no, Pav's Creamery. And I was like, "Okay." And then I turned away and I just started laughing. And I was keeping it to myself. And I was looking away from her, but Stella by this point is sitting next to me, and she just gets in my face and goes, "Dad, why are you still laughing? Why is it?" Just keeps pointing it out, and I just couldn't stop laughing about this stupid thing. And in my head, I'm like, "You should just explain to them that that's really funny." And then there was another voice that was like, "It's not funny. It's stupid. No one would laugh at this. No one would ever laugh at this as long and as hard as you are laughing at it." So here's what I finally did. I finally, after the third time Stella like taunted me, I just got up and went, "Stella, I'm laughing in my own house. Can I laugh in my own house by myself? I don't understand why I can't laugh in my own house." And as I walked out of the room into the bathroom, I laughed uncontrollably in the bathroom.
Fuck.
Like faked pooping. Like even ran the bidet to make people think I was pooping in there while I was just giggling. That's all I was doing. Finally get myself calm, but then every time I'd walk out and start to walk down the hall towards them, it would just enter my brain that I'm like,
"No.
She's a narc. You laugh too hard at Pav Schmeery." And like I would start laughing again and have to go in the bathroom. Like, I was the most weirdest today around them that you could possibly, like, from her position, she said a normal ice cream shop name. I laughed about it for 20 minutes while my child asked me why, went to the bathroom, took a 20-minute shit, walked out of the bathroom, walked back into the bathroom, walked out of the bathroom, walked back into the bathroom, walked out of the bathroom, walked into my room and hid in my bedroom until she left. Like, it's terrible. All right.